Okay, Erev Tov, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. Baruch Hashem, opportunity to learn together before a very, very special Shabbos. This Shabbos is Parsha Shemos, and we know that Parsha Shemos begins the weeks of Shovavim. Shovavim is an acronym that is the first letter of the Parshios of Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, and Mishpatim. This is something that is really first discussed in Kabbalistic literature in the time of the Beis Yosef, the time of the Arizal. We don't really find mention of Shovavim before that. And it's based upon the concept, the Kabbalistic concept. When you read certain Parshios, it brings down certain Shefa, brings down certain spiritual energies. And when we read the Parshios of Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, so basically, the storyline through the Torah is, of course, that the Jewish people were meshubad. They were enslaved in Egypt, all different forms of enslavement, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And they went through a process, an evolutionary process, a spiritual evolution, in which they came to Har Sinai, were mekabel the Torah, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, in which they declared Na'asa v'nishma, that we will do, then we will listen, reaching the level that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us is the secret of the Malachim, that we really went through this amazing transformation. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, of course, the Ari HaKadosh, and many others discuss that it's during these weeks we too can really open ourselves up. Whatever we find that we are enslaved to, we can set ourselves free. Right? This is the opportunity that Shovavim represents. Obviously, it's predicated upon a certain notion. The notion that it's predicated is upon that we're all enslaved to something, which Rav Gedalia Yishar, we've quoted many times, Rav Shiva Tor Vadas, Zechus Yigin Aleinu, points out that, sometimes the enslavement that we experience is not physical bondage. He actually argues, Rabbi Shor argues, that the primary enslavement that the Jewish people, in fact, experienced in Egypt was a psychological enslavement. Because we know that the Medrash tells us, from the time until the Jewish people escaped Egypt, there was not one slave that was able to escape Egypt. And Rav Gedalia Yishar suggests the reason for that was not because they had sharpshooters and towers and miles of wall and barbed wire, but because Paro, he writes, was a master propagandist, a master at PR. And Paro got into everyone's head that what do you mean? Egypt is the best place. We're taking amazing care of you. I give you food. And we see that this psychological enslavement, entrapment that the Jewish people experienced in Egypt took them a long time to really break free from it. We see in the desert, when things got tough, the Jewish people complained about how good they had it in Egypt. So we know that Rav Gedalia Yishar says that everyone is enslaved to something. You just have to figure out what that is. And during the weeks of Shovavim, you have special siyata d'shmaya. There's special divine energies that come down that enable us to break free. And so what we have to do is we have to really read Yetzias Mitzrayim, not as a one-time event, but of course Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that we experience every day. Tonight, Chav Dalid Teves is in fact the yahrzeit of the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Zechus Yigin Aleinu, the founder of Chabad Chassidim, Lubavitch Chassidim. It's also the yahrzeit of the Shemi Shmuel, or Shmuel Bornstein, Zechus Yigin Aleinu, the Sachachava Rebbe, the son of the Avnei Nezer. And tonight actually is also another yahrzeit of a Litvak that has connection to the Baal Tanya, Rev Elio Eliezer Dessler, Zecher Tzav V'Kadosh Livracha, Rev Dessler, D'michtam Elio, a massive giant in the Mussar movement who actually was very, very much responsible for a lot of the Torah community in England. He really built it up in the earlier part of the 20th century, eventually making Aliyah, moving to B'nai Brak, becoming Mashkiach in the Panovitch Yeshiva of Rav Kahaneman. And what I'd like to discuss tonight are some ideas from the Parsha, some connected to these three tzaddikim, and some others that are independent. But to start with that idea of the Baal HaTanya, in fact, in the Tanya, in the 47th chapter, Perek Mem Zayin of the Tanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi points out that Metzias Mitzrayim is ongoing. Every day, there is spiritual energy of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, these weeks are the weeks that you could take it all the way. But every day a person has opportunity to set herself, to set himself free. And he says that, where do we find this? How does a person set themselves free from these things? So that Reb Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, says that it's through, of course, Torah mitzvahs. But which Torah mitzvahs? He says primarily through Kriya Shema, believe it or not. He says that by reading the Shema, that is where a person can set herself, can set himself free. And in fact, that's why we know that the Gemara tells us that the third paragraph of the Shema, one of the reasons why it was tacked on to the Shema, because the main two are the first two. In fact, some say only the first two are Torah law to be read. The third was added on by the rabbis. It's not Torah law, but why was that added on? So one of the things the Gemara talks about is because the third paragraph of Shema talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. At the very end of the third paragraph of Shema talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And based upon what the Baal HaTanya is teaching us, it makes a lot of sense. Because he says that what activates the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim every day for us is by saying Shema. And why is that? Why is that? So we have to understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim really was. We have to first understand what the Golus of Mitzrayim really was, and then we can understand how Yetzias Mitzrayim is expressed each and every day, is actually activated inside our souls each and every day through Kriya Shema. So first and foremost, we have to understand what the nature of Sheba and Mitzrayim. We said that Rav Gedal Yashar shared that he felt it was primarily, of course, there was tremendous physical torture and abuse and enslavement. But he said that the deepest was the psychological, it was the emotional, that the Jewish people sort of lost themselves. And there are many who say that this is really the key of setting ourselves free. The key to be able to set ourselves free, to make it through a difficult galus, is remembering in truth who we really are. And this is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chassid Gimel Leinu says, is why the Parsha starts off in a little bit of a strange way. And in fact, it's the reason why the name of this whole Sefer of the Torah, it's a little bit interesting. I understand Bereshis, the beginning, Vayikra, Hashem calls out, Bamidbar, the formation of the people happened in the desert, Devarim, Elad Varim, the words of Musar, the words that Moshe Rabbeinu in the final 5 weeks of his life, the greatest prophet ever was, whoever will be, right, the one who which we say about Moshe Emes V'Taraso Emes, Moshe is true, his Torah is true. So Devarim, the words of admonishment, the word of guidance for Moshe Rabbeinu as the Jewish people are entering into the land of Israel. But when you look at the second book of the Torah, Shemos, names, what does that have to do with anything? We know that Chazal referred to Shemos as Sefer HaGeula, the book of redemption. Okay, that I get, that makes a lot of sense. But for the second book, the Sefer HaGeula, to be referred to as Shemos, as the names, why? And the Torah, in fact, starts the second book of the Torah, Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael Abba Mitzrayim. These are the names of the Jewish people, and it lists them all. But we know they just were listed in Vayigash. And then they were mentioned, they were all listed in Vayigash. And then all the brothers were mentioned again, as they are here. They were mentioned in Vayechi. So what does it mean? Three parshas in a row, we have to be told their names, and here it's highlighting the Elah Shemos B'nai Yisrael. So we know the famous Medrash that this is teaching us, that the key to Geula was the fact that they remembered their names. Now what does that mean? That they didn't change their names. The key to Geula is that they didn't change their names, really? Because they didn't take Egyptian names, that was the key to their redemption? Why is that so significant? I mean, ironically, by the way, that Moshe, in fact, was the name given to him by Bisya Bas Par, right? So that's interesting that Moshe evidently wasn't the Jewish name given to him by his mother Yocheved, by his father Amram. He took, in fact, his Egyptian name. So that's an interesting question we've spoken about other years, something to think about at your Shabbos table, if you don't remember our shir from other years, if you haven't heard it. But based upon what we're saying, that the Iker Golus is not knowing who you were, that it was a psychological enslavement. So we understand that having their names is significant, but so significant that it's the name of the book. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe shares an idea that we find in Chassidus and that in Kabbalah, that the name of a person, yes, the Gemara talks about the name representing something deeper about the person, but believe it or not, in Kabbalah, the name actually represents almost an external part of the soul. We know that there are five different levels of the soul. there are levels of the soul that are in the body, there are levels of the soul that are still connected up in Shemayim. And Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael is teaching us that the names, Habayim Mitzrayim, that these are the names of the Jewish people that are going into Mitzrayim. Al Pi Kabbalah, what the Torah is teaching us is a very important idea, how to get through the difficulties of an Egypt, how to get through the difficulties of a Galus. And you know what that is? That is always to remember your source. That's always to recognize, Elah Shemos B'nei Yisrael HaBayim Mitzrayim, right, these are the names of the Jews that were coming into Mitzrayim, that this is the lower parts of their soul in their bodies coming into Mitzrayim. But to recognize it's a part of us that's still Mekusher Lamala, there's a part of us that's still attached above. And that part that's still attached above is what gives us, in the darkest times, the ability to feel inspired, to feel connected to the Borei Olam. We know it's very interesting that the Lubavitch Rebbe also shares that if you look in this week's parsha, Vayimaru es chayim b'avoda kasha b'chomer b'lvenim b'chal avoda basada shemos perak aleph pasuk yedalit. So the quotes, the Gemara in Sota, daf yedalif amabeza, tells us, b'tchila originally b'chomer b'lvenim. The original enslavement was with the mortar and with the bricks. And Ulbasov eventually was a chalavoda basada, all different types of work in the field. But we see that there's this focus on b'chomer ulvenim, there's a focus over and over with the bricks. And we know at the end of the parasha, when things aren't going so well, how does Paro make it harder for them? Specifically in the bricks, you're not even going to be given the materials to make the bricks. You're after going to go, what is this about the bricks? Why are the bricks so significant? So again, the idea is brought down that there are two ways, two materials you can use to build. You can use rocks, and you can use bricks, right? You want to build a gesunte home, right? A gesunte home, you use rocks or you use bricks. What's the difference between rocks and bricks? So rocks, we know, are basically natural material. Yeah, you have to chisel out the rocks. You have to carve the rocks out of the mountain. You have to smooth it out a little. But essentially, the essence of the rock is made by God. But bilvanim, the bricks, bricks are made by human beings. Bricks are made by human beings. And why are we here in this world? We're here in this world, the Medrash tells us, to create a house for God, a makom dira b'tachtonim, a place for God to dwell here in this world. Right? We know that's why the Mishkan is so significant. That's, of course, why the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is one of the five things that are considered owned by God, kaviyachal. One of the five kinyanim that Hashem has in this world is the Mikdash. That's something that's very important to Hashem. Hashem saying, I'm keeping ownership of this, meaning that we're supposed to clear a space for Hashem in this world. So how do we build Hashem's world? When we're in the Beis HaMikdash, interestingly enough, what do we only use? We use stone. We didn't use bricks. We use stone. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, when there's Haaretz Panim, when there's Harchavas Hadas, when the Jewish people are in a state of clarity, a state of redemption, a state of being in their homeland. So we use the Evan, we use the stone, we see everything Hashem gives us beautiful. But when you go into Galus, what is it? It's Levanim. It's the bricks. You're not just taking the materials from God, right, when things are clear. But Chomer Ubelvenim, the mortar, the mud, and the bricks that we have to create from the raw materials ourselves, what is that? That's when things are not good. That's when the Jewish people are in Galus. And we have to take the darkness, and we have to take the tzaros, Mitzrayim, from a lashon of meitzar, of distress, of being limited and being pressed against and being beaten down. So we have to understand it's the avoda of chomer ubilvenim. Everything that happens in the physical world is, of course, a metaphor of something spiritual and of something in a higher plane. And the focus on the bricks is the challenge to the Jewish people when they're in Mitzrayim, not to lose their identity. Meaning the idea of not changing the name, a person cannot change their name when they understand that there's a part of them that's not Meshubit here in Mitzrayim. There's a part of them that's still connected to the root of their neshama, that's Tachas Kisei HaKavod, that's so close to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the avoda of Chomer Bilvenim, the avoda of taking the difficulty, the chomrius, the physicality, and making and building it, levenim or lashon of bone, of building something beautiful out of the difficulties that we have. But That's only when we remember who we are. That's only when we remember how we're connected up in a significant way. And this, the Lubavitcher Rebbe continues to teach us, is also the other major punishment that we hear, the other major form of enslavement. Yes, Chomer Bulvanim, this is something we speak about. And what's the other type of enslavement that we read about, that we focus on so much, that certainly when we learned the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I'm sure this is what we speak about, and of course this plays a prominent role in, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's life. The one of the figures in all of Tanakh that we have the most significant character development about. And what is that? That is the idea that every male child had to be thrown into the river. Kol haben hayilod hayaora tashlichu. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis. Again, obviously there's a lot to be spoken about here. This was a way of assimilating the Jewish people, that throw away all the boys, we'll take the girls, we'll marry their daughters. That was actually the plan of Hamor and Shechem with Dina, in terms of what they wanted to do, in terms of intermarrying with Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim. Look at the Lashon of the Pasuk, how Hamor and Shechem present the plan to the people of the city of Shechem. But this was the plan that the Egyptians had, that we're going to kill all the boys and we're going to take the daughters, right? And then the Jewish people will essentially be finished. But again, looking in terms of the Panemius HaDvarim, this is what Hasidus teaches us, this is what Kabbalah always teaches us, to look at Panemius HaDvarim, look at the inside of it, look in the inner space, the depth of it. What is the message of taking the ben and throwing into the river, Hayyora Tashlichu? So again, the Rebbe explains, in honor of the Alter Rebbe's Yahrzeit tonight, Elad Lubavitch Torah tonight, the Rebbe explains that what's the difference between the river and rain? And this is how Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Devarim highlights the contrast between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael time and time again. This is something that we find highlighted. It's actually highlighted in the second paragraph of Shema, that Mitzrayim was irrigated by the Nile. The Nile overflowed its bank. People created little canals, a whole system of tributaries off of the Nile, and all of the fertile land of the Nile Crescent, it was because of this river, right? What about in Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, there are no major rivers, right? You ever see the Jordan River? Remember a Catholic friend of mine said he was very disappointed when he went to go see the Jordan River. He was expecting to see like the Mississippi. He said the Jordan River, it was tiny, it was nothing. Right, there were parts of the Jordan River they were driving down the Arava. You could jump over the Jordan River. He was so disappointed that, you know, he was expecting like a raging, roaring river like the Mississippi. Right, Eretz Yisrael is not known really for its rivers. Where is the real water of Eretz Yisrael? We know it comes from rain. It comes from rain. If it doesn't rain in Eretz Yisrael, disaster. Right? It doesn't rain in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, past couple of years in Eretz Yisrael has been unbelievable. The Kinneret, the major reservoir of water in Eretz Yisrael is higher than it's been in mamish decades. Decades! It's higher than it's been in decades, the Kinneret. Baruch Hashem. But the difference is that in Mitzrayim, it's very easy to forget Hashem. And that's what it means that they worship the Nile in Egypt. They worship the Nile because they worship nature. Look, you have this river, the river overflows. That was their God. Their God was nature. But in Eretz Yisrael, there was no river to worship. What do you worship? You worshiped Hashem. You dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you waited for the rains to come down. That's what it was. And in Eretz Yisrael, you saw Hashgacha Maleah. You sensed Hashem's presence. So what the Egyptians wanted to do is they wanted to crush the emun of the Jewish people again. They wanted to break the connection between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On one level, of course, by wiping out all the males. But on the other level, the deeper message is Kol HaBen HaYorosh Tashlichu, that the descendants should be meshubah to this concept of Teva. That we should be totally enamored and see as the greatest power the power of nature in the world. And that's why it's very interesting. What Chazal tell us is that the Shibud didn't start until the last of the Shvatim died, which was Levi. When the last of the Shvatim died, that's when the Shibud really started. Why? Because Yaakov and his sons lived in Eretz Yisrael. They had the amazing emuna of a toshav of Eretz Yisrael. So when they went, their children were relatively young when they moved down to Egypt, right? And when they moved down to Egypt, their sons, their grandchildren, you know, when they were alive, they were able to share those lessons of Emunah. But when they passed away, that's when the Jewish people started to become enslaved. That's when they started to forget who they really were. That's when they started to worship the god of Teva, the god of nature, the god of the Nile River. And this is, of course, part of what we've been discussing, what the Alter Rebbe tells us, that there's Yetzias Mitzrayim every day through the paragraph of Shema, because what is Shema? Shema is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Shema is when a Jew remembers who she is, who he is. Because after all, Shema really, like some of the first words that we teach our children, right, to teach, put their hand over their eyes, Shema Yisrael. And we know Shema is also the last words that a Jew says when they're in this world. Shema is the bookends of our identity at the very, very beginning and at the very, very end, God forbid. And so therefore, the Alter Rebbe is teaching us, we go through Yetzias Mitzrayim every day through the Shema by Kabbal Ol Malchus Shemayim and saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're not going to talk about the Kabbalistic concept of the Yichud, the highest level of soul that Mamash, that maybe we're talking about, also alluding to when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that highest level of soul is one with God, and that's what it means to really be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim in the greatest way. But this is really part of the avoda that we have now. This is also related to the idea that the Shlach HaKadosh says that when a person leaves this world and goes to the Beis Din Shel Malach to face their din, the first question they're going to ask is, what is your name? What is your name? And the Shlach HaKadosh says, that's why there's the minhag that many people have. I have of saying the psukim that connect to your name right before you take your three steps back in Shmon Esrei. You should always remember your name. Always remember who you are. There is a very powerful book about a Talmud of Eli Wiesel, who says, Chusi Agin Aleinu, who said that, it was at witness at Eli Wiesel's Levi, as they were bringing the Aron, he just kept whispering the name, remember who you are. And said to him, his name, then his father's name, remember who you are. It's such a powerful, powerful image. The person who represented memory, that he needs to remember this one last thing. But it's all connected. This is what it means, Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael. That when we recognize our names, when we don't change our names, it means because we're connected in the highest way and also in the deepest way. And this, of course, leads, when we begin to forget this, when we forget who we are, then it's expressed in different things. And this is, of course, one of the great tragedies in the Parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu, on the second day, when he Vayigdal Moshe grows up, he goes out to see the matzav of the Jewish people. And the first day he sees an Mitzri beating an Ivri, beating a Jew. And Moshe kills the Mitzri, buries him. The next day, he goes out the second thing. What happens? He sees two Jews fighting, and he says, "Rasha, lo masakir yecha, Rasha, excuse me, why are you beating your friend?" And then, what does he say back? What are these dasan navirim, very difficult, difficult members of the Jewish people say? They say, "Well, what are you going to do? Who do you think you are? You think you're judge over us? Who made you judge? What are you going to do? You're going to do to us what you did to that Egyptian?" And then Moshe Rabbeinu responds, "Vayira Moshe Vayomer Achein Noda Hadavar." Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid, and he says, "Oy, now this matter is going to be known." Right? And on one level, of course, what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that now this matter is going to be known, that Paro is going to know that I killed this Egyptian, and now I'm going to have to run, and that does happen. But again, Al-Pi Panimius HaDvarim, what's he saying? We know the Gemara says, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in this Midrashim about this Medrash Tanchuma and Shmos Rabbah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, and he says, now I know. He's saying he was afraid. Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered. Why the Jews in Galus? Why are they suffering like this? They didn't change their names. That should be Zechus for them. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, even though they didn't change their names, Achein Noda Adavar, Moshe was afraid. He goes, now I know. Now I know that you have two Jews fighting. Now I know you have Jews that are going to go tell on another Jew, go tell Paro about another Jew, how he defended a Jew and killed a Mitzri. Moshe says, Achein Noda Adavar, now I know. And he's afraid. He goes, now I know why. What does this mean? Many tzaddikim talk about this idea that what Moshe Rabbeinu saw here was the chait of Lashon Hara. he saw the lack of achdus, he saw the lack of unity amongst the Jewish people, two Jews fighting, and these two Jews then enabled, willing to go sell out a third Jew for defending the life of another Jew who's being beaten to death. They're willing to sell him out to Paro. Moshe is afraid, and he says, Acheinu da'davar, now I know. And of course, that this is one of the things that we suffer from the most. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, he makes a comment. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he runs away to Midian. And he's in Midian for a while. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went, grew up and went out to his brothers, he thought, this is it. You know, I'm going to help bring about a revolution, perhaps. And then he sees the Lashon Hara. He sees the Sinna. He sees the lack of achdus amongst the Jewish people. And he runs away. He says, now I get it. Now I get why they're gone. And that's why he has such difficulty when Hashem tries to give him the mission of going back to save them. And he says, you know, what? How are they going to believe me? Right? They have no pirud. There's no unity amongst the Jewish people. They can't hear one another. How are they going to hear me? And Hashem says, go. It's going to be okay. And that's why when Moshe goes and he tells Paro and he tells the Jewish people and they're excited, but then Paro makes it harder on the Jews and they come and complain to Moshe. Bob Shiva said, what's going on? And it's something that's very sad, but it's very true. And I apologize. I talk about this in shul often. I don't know if I said it in shir often, but I talk about it in shul often that unfortunately, sometimes the things that brings the Jewish people together the most are the tzaras. What brings the Jewish people together the most is tzaras, is when there are difficulties. And that's unfortunately a great tragedy. Baba Treb says we see in this week's parsha, it had to get worse before it could get better. And that's so tragic. That one of the main ingredients for Geula is the Jewish people getting along, is the Jewish people not being malsh, not speaking Lashon Hara against one another, to see a sense of brotherhood, a sense of being in it together. And chas v'shalom, there should be tzaras. Chas v'shalom, there should be such tzaras. We should try and be able to have that ava for each other, that appreciation of each other, that sense of chaverim kol Yisrael. Not that we have to be best friends, but understand there's a connection between Jews. Understand there's a connection between all Jews. That when we sit down next to another Jew, we should be able to talk. Even if you never met the Jew, you don't know it. We should be able to talk, able to say hello, able to have a connection. And these are just some of the ha'aris from this week's parsha. But I wanted to share one very important idea from the Shem Yishmuel. It's an idea in Parshas Vayechi, something we shared years ago, but it's the Shem Yishmuel's Yahrzeit of Shmuel Bornstein, of Shmuel ben Rabavram, to share on his Yahrzeit tonight, because here we are in Gullus, right? And here we are reading about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the blueprint for getting how to get out of Gullus, to remember who we are. And when we say Shema every day, and the 42 days of Shovavim, the 6 times 7, 6 weeks, 7 days a week, Tzadikim say are connected to the 42 words of the first paragraph of Shema. That's what we know. We know who we are when we learn Torah and Vishnantam Levanacha Vadibarta Bam, B'shivtcha V'Veisecha V'lachtcha V'Aderech, wherever we go, to be able to be connected to Torah. But we know that the Shem Yishmuel says that a very important idea that we have to remember at the end of days, how to get out of Gullus, how to get out of Gullus. And he said that this is the root of the machlokes between Yaakov and Yosef when Yaakov pulls the old switcheroo from last week's parsha, right? One of my favorite Shem Yishmuels. So we know that Yosef brings the sons, lines them up so that, you know, Menashe is to Yaakov's right, Ephraim is to Menashe's, to Yaakov's left, and he could just put the hands, give the brachas, the right hand on the older brother. And Yaakov Avinu pulls the switcheroo, right? We spoke about it last week, different aspects of Yisimcha Lekim Kefraim V'chem Menashe, what that means in terms of the getting along, of not being arrogant towards each other and not being jealous of each other. And again, that certainly fits with the concept of Geula that we're talking about here, that Moshe was afraid and was afraid because the Jews didn't have these things. And that's why he said, Geulus is going to get worse before it's going to get better, to be able to bring people together. But the way the Shem Yishmuel understands the Machlokes is that Yaakov Avinu, again, all of Parshas Vayechi, we said last week, is really about the end of days. Yaakov Avinu, the end of his life, Yisrael Saba, Yaakov Avinu, Bechir Sheba Avos, the greatest of the Avos, the one that represents the Bais HaShlishi, at the end of his life, he was already seeing everything at the end of days. And he was giving a blessing to Yosef's children, the Jews of Gullus, right? Again, apologize for those that didn't listen to last week's shir, but Menashe and Ephraim really represents the Jews of Galus. And Yaakovina wants to give a blessing to the Jews of Galus, especially the Jews at the end of time. And Yosef brings them forth that it's Menashe first and then Ephraim, right? Because what does Menashe represent? Kinashani Elokim is Kalam Ali. Hashem, help me forget everything, to move away from bad things. What is referred to by David HaMelech as Sur Meirat, turn away from bad. Ephraim, Ki Ephraim Elokim Be'eretz Ani, the root of the name being pre-fruitful, that I was fruitful and I was successful. Even in this impoverished and spiritually depleted land, I was successful. And Yosef said that, you know, Yaakov, Tata, give the bracha first to Menashe, that a Jew should be able to have the koach to move away from something bad. And then Ephraim Elokim, then they'll be able to grow. Zokt Yaakov Avinu, no. He switches the hands. Why does he switch the hands? Because he wants to tell Yosef, maybe that's good for you. Yosef had a certain, the mind ruled over the heart when it came to Yosef HaTzadik, the Tzadik Yisod Olam. But he told Yosef, at the end of days, we're not going to be able to work in it the way we do here. It's not going to be first Sur Meirat, turn away from bad, and then Naseh Tov, and then do good. You know how it has to, Yosef, at the end of days, you know how it's going to happen at the end of days? It's going to have to be first Ephraim, and then Menashe. That the Gullus is going to be so hard, and it's going to be so painful, and people are going to be so lost. What you have to do first is Aseh Tov. First do good. First start learning Torah. First start doing mitzvahs. First give tzedakah. Do acts of chesed. Then, once you're doing the good, you're bringing this positive energy, you bring this great light in, then it'll help you weaken, let go of the bad, the sur meira, help you let go of it. And here, this is what we have to recognize, that when we find ourselves in a gullus that is the gullus that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of in Vayetze, when he saw the angel going up, that last angel that was our gullus, and Yaakov was afraid because he didn't see the angel coming down. Some say those angels represented the four exiles. And he saw it going up. He didn't see it coming down. Yaakov Avinu was afraid. And Hashem tells him, Atir, don't worry, Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu was afraid for us. Because we know today how difficult it is to be a Jew that's passionate about Hashem, that's passionate about the Jewish people, that's passionate about Hashem's Torah. It's very tough. We know it's very difficult. So we have to listen. The Shem Yishmol says to Yaakov Avinu's Eitzah, forget about turning away from the bad right now. The first thing you have to focus on is saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The first thing we have to focus on is bringing in good. Every day to be Mekabel Al Malch Shemaim, to accept Hashem. But you accept Hashem because we know how much Hashem loves us. We know how deeply connected we are to Hashem. One of my favorite phrases, B'chol HaTorah Kula, one of my favorite phrases in the whole Torah is this week's Parsha. Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Beis. Maybe I'll just leave off there and you have to go check the Pasuk. I'll give you real homework. You know, we'll leave it at that. Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Beis. Go look and find one of my favorite phrases in the Torah. Because sometimes when I just feel down for the state of the Jewish people, and I see how difficult it is for us. I sometimes find this phrase and I just repeat it over and over and over. And it gives me tremendous chizuk. And I hope it'll give you chizuk that we should just bring the light in. Recognize we're holding by the last gullus. Recognize we're holding in the most difficult part of this gullus. Believe it or not, that's what the tzaddikim say. They say there was going to be a total disaster, physical, which we went through, but then after is going to be a disaster, spiritual. And that's in 100 years, the crazy, a churban, a physical destruction, the likes of which the Jewish people have never seen, and a spiritual destruction, spiritual assimilation, the likes of which the Jewish people have, many have said, they don't think we've ever experienced such spiritual devastation. At the same time, that there's more Torah learning than ever, which is, we know, is we've spoken about this many times, a characteristic of the days of Mashiach, that Or v'choshech berbuvia, there's going to be tremendous light and tremendous darkness. And that's what the Shem Yishmuel is. Your tzeit is tonight, Reb Shlomo ben Reb Avram, Zechus Yigin Aleinu, the Heilig Shem Yishmuel, that we have to just bring a lot of light, Chaver. We have to bring a lot of light. We have to redouble our efforts. And maybe in the Zechus of Shovavim, that we know that we're all a slave to something, the way we let go of the darkness is by bringing the light, and it starts with the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which of course was also related to Parshas Vayechi, which is what the brothers told Yaakov Mamish by the end of his life. And so we should all be zocha during these weeks of Shovavim to find great simcha, that great light and service of Hashem, and connecting to Hashem, connecting to each other, and Be'ezus Hashem will be zocha to experience the great day, the great redemption that we've been waiting for since Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, everyone, have a great night, have a great Shabbos, everyone stay well, stay healthy. Take care.